You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined today by Marty Sliva.
Hey, guys.
Brian Albert.
Hello.
And Gearbox's Andrew Goldfarb.
Hi.
Joining us.
He's back.
We're here at the loudest, sweatiest, hottest place on God's green earth.
I'm amazed I can hear you at all.
Gamescom in Cologne, Germany. We've been here all week.
Yep.
Whew, what a show it's been.
Yeah, it's been
good. I'm amazed. I still have a voice. I'm amazed that we haven't been taken down by the throngs of League of Legends fans that
terrified.
Are chanting.
They are legitimately terrified.
We know people like Mitch and Leah. And, like, you guys, you are League of Legends people. Are you like that?
Absolutely. I'm not quite that loud. They're pretty naughty. But then, you know, we got Wargaming right over there as well.
Yeah, Wargaming booth is over here. And NVIDIA, why is NVIDIA so loud and popular?
Because they're giving away, like, shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And people are, like, fist fighting over them.
The takeaway from Gamescom is offer a German a free t-shirt, they will lose their freaking mind.
Yep. Yeah. They were showing off a video on, like, particle physics, and everyone was, like, cheering and jumping. I was like, okay.
Germans love particle physics.
But, I mean, that's for, like, PAX, too, though. I don't think that's only a German thing.
Sure.
Maybe it's a little German's more enthusiastic here.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
As an expert in German culture, I can tell you.
You're Canada, sure.
We've seen a bunch of games this week that we got to talk about. Big announcements. Why don't we start with the first-party press conferences? Both Microsoft and Sony had conferences earlier this week. Let's sort of see if we can determine who had the stronger showing. Let's start with Sony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was at Sony, and what I really liked is, I mean, like Microsoft, they focused on games. They had the one moment where, obviously, they are outselling the Xbox One, so they were able to brag that they've sold through 10 million units. And it's like, well, they're going to do that.
Let's note that that latest number, since Microsoft hasn't given an update, is almost a 2-to-1.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Number.
Right.
That's impressive. That being said, both of the systems are selling like 80% higher than the previous generation did at this time period. So, you know, regardless of the divide, it's an amazing time for gamers.
Sure. Console gaming, not dead.
Who'd have thunk it?
It's cool.
Heard it here first.
For me, Sony, sort of the big things were, again, focusing on the indie movies.
Yeah, lots of indie games.
Lots of indie games. And then showing off a couple sort of reboots and reimaginings of the games that we saw a couple of years ago. So where do you want to start with that?
Why don't we start with a new game from a developer that started out making a PlayStation 3 exclusive, Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
Unveiled their new game, Hellblade, which, as you guys just realized, is sort of the opposite of their game, Heavenly Sword.
That just blew my mind.
Hellblade. they showed a new trailer, and it looked like, we're seeing it here.
Yeah.
Tonally, aesthetically, it kind of looks like Heavenly Sword. A lot of people thought this was going to be Heavenly Sword 2.
It's also weird that like someone looks like the sister.
Character,
So it's like it's...
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the same universe. yeah. and the names are so freaking similar that it's possible it's gonna. That's spooky. I don't like the spooky stuff.
If nothing else, it's like the Dark Souls, Demon Souls thing where it's like very similar in tone and in
same
idea.
Yeah.
And this character also sort of looks like Noriko, the main character from Heavenly Sword. I thought it was Heavenly Sword too.
And I mean, we didn't get to see. I was hoping they'd show something on the show floor, like a behind closed door demo of maybe gameplay or something, but we didn't get to see that. But the trailer was cool. I like Heavenly Sword. I love Enslaved, and I thought DMC was really cool. So these guys, they know how to make really cool, stylish action games. So I feel like, you know, after Bayonetta 2 comes out and Scalebound, we're not going to have a whole lot of them. So hopefully this is rad, and we don't know anything about it, though.
The developers were talking about how they want this to be a AAA indie game.
Right.
Like that's the sort of approach to development they're taking.
That's not the first time I've heard that here as well. Yeah, it seems to be a new thing people are chasing.
Yeah, so with Sony a lot too. I mean, with stuff like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and The Witness, they have these indie games, but when you look at them, you're like, well, these are just as good looking as anything else.
Yeah.
And Sony's funding a lot of it, so more and more now, the term indie is just nebulous.
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything.
It's sort of like, you know, dealing with like strange themes and like weird experimental gameplay, but it still has like the production values of a bigger game is what it seems to be.
It could also hint at the distribution method. I imagine it'll be a downloadable game. No retail release.
I mean, it probably just means like, I don't know, I guess Sony must be publishing it, or
I would imagine.
Like, I mean, the fact that it was on the Sony stage, I would guess.
So that's, but, I mean, a lot of the weird thing with these conferences is when they show games that aren't necessarily first party, our mind sort of gravitates and makes the connection. Like, well, these are going to be exclusives, but unless they say it, we don't really know. And even with that, exclusive doesn't really mean anything anymore.
Yeah, right.
Well, we'll get to that later.
Exactly.
It does mean a great deal. No, I think they said that Heavenly Sword or Hellblade's kind of come to PlayStation first, but then it'll also come to other platforms, just like Enslaved did and DMC.
It's one of those interesting things where, like, Heavenly Sword is such a PlayStation franchise that you know, you have to associate it with that platform first anyway. I think even if it was announced for multi-platform, most people would be PlayStation gamers. You would have to assume.
Yeah.
Or Wii U gamers. Wii U gamers.
Oh, yeah, Wii U exclusive.
That's a Nintendo video game system.
One of the coolest looking games at the Sony conference I thought was Wild.
Yeah.
The new one from Michael Ancel?
Michel.
This came out of nowhere.
Michel Ancel. Sorry.
Yeah, so this was really weird because it's the new indie game by Michel Ancel, who is also still like one of the higher ups at Ubisoft.
Yeah, like, it's sort of like what they did with Patrick Plourd for Child of Light, except rather than making what's essentially an indie game within Ubisoft, they let him literally splinter off and do his own studio while still maintaining his Ubisoft responsibilities.
So I mean, we're seeing it here. You know, the game looks awesome. It's quite a set. It's set in this, like,
there's a skeleton following you.
I mean, I love this.
Turn around.
And like, you're on horseback. This guy's never wearing a shirt.
No, he's not going to put on a shirt. When you're built like that, you don't want to hide away the goods.
Exactly. So this was BS before shirts.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is when the game takes place.
So you can also play as any of the animals.
Yeah,
correct?
Like,
what is this horrifying thing?
Yeah, the terrifying bug monster.
She's just stealing eggs. It looks really cool. It feels like you can inhabit a lot of the animals. There's obviously this, like, in the world. Spooky skeletons. I love this.
Underwater skeleton giant.
Brian, these are old gods. The remnants of old gods.
We've angered them again.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks like, I mean, we don't know what the gameplay itself is like, but it sort of looks like a multiplayer Mark of the Kree, if you guys remember that game from PS2.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks really cool. Michel Ancel is rad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cool to see something from his mind in this style, because obviously Rayman, like, the fun thing about Rayman is it can do whatever it wants. Like, there's no, like, set canon or type of world. It can go to a chef's lava, or it can go to, like, some random castle
or
whatever.
That was really cute.
I think it's cool because it's almost like more closer to, like, the Beyond Good and Evil art style, but with, like, that same crazy randomness.
Yeah, giant tree woman. I love how Damon's just animatedly reacting to what's going on right now.
He can't even see me at all.
Yeah,
that game looks awesome.
Yeah, it's also
The tagline that Michelle said was, it's set 10,000 years ago when nature and humanity were one.
Before we ruined everything.
Yeah, before we ended everything up.
Before we were gross and left our trash everywhere.
Thanks, humans. Thanks, Gamescom.
Okay, Housemarque is a big PlayStation developer.
Yep, Super Stardust, Dead Nation.
And what was that? The PS4 launch game?
Resogun.
Resolution Gun.
Yeah. It's been so long.
They announced their new game, Alienation, which, I don't know, I like Housemarque a lot, but I wasn't terribly, like, impressed by what they showed here. It kind of reminds, it looks like another top-down twin-stick shooter, sort of like Dead Nation, just with swapping out zombies with aliens.
It looks exactly like that. I'm a little, the guys are immensely talented.
Oh, yeah, I love this studio.
Resogun is still one of my favorite games on PS4, so I just wish they would do something a little bit different. something slightly outside the wheelhouse. And I saw, I think I'm the only one, I saw Geometry Wars 3 here. And to me, that looked cooler.
Do you know about platforms for that one?
It's everything. It's okay. 360, Xbox One, PS3, PS4, and PC.
Let's hold that for later in the show. I totally want to hear about that. Put that in the...
The old mouthball.
I was going to say spank bank, but that doesn't apply
then
at all.
Put it in the spank bank.
Unless it was that good that
it
you
was,
think you're going to masturbate
good.
To it.
What is happening? It is 11 in the morning, Damon. But I that's true.
Yeah, no, what'd you guys think about Alienation?
I'm just ready for more from my housework. I don't play...
Let me help you out.
Thanks.
Keep talking. Put it in his mouth. What is happening?
I don't play a lot of twin stick shooters. So
I think I made it worse.
It'll be fine. So when they come out, especially with the quality that they are from Housemarque, I'm ready for them at the time because it's not a super popular genre that I play a lot.
I mean, they have the pedigree to make it incredible. Like it's so early and that's literally all we've seen. That I have no doubt that after Resogun, I feel like I have a lot of trust in them, and I want to see more.
Yeah,
Marty, you're excited about Tearaway Unfolded.
I am way too excited about Tearaway Unfolded.
Me too. This is probably the most exciting announcement of the show for me.
Yeah.
For me personally.
So Tearaway was it's a Vita game.
Yep.
Coming to PS4 now.
Yeah, so Tearaway is my favorite Vita game. I know Goldfarb loves it. Krupa, who reviewed it for us, loves it. Not enough people played it. Not nearly enough people played it. And the whole thing was I didn't expect a port to be able to exist because the game is so intrinsically designed to the Vita.
For the touchscreen.
For the touchscreen,
the pad on the back.
For the camera, for the ability, for the gyro sensors, for being able to blow on the screen.
And it somehow didn't feel gimmicky either.
Yeah. But what's interesting is, so what you see here is they're redesigned. This game isn't, it's not a remake, it's not a sequel, but it's not just a port.
Can't be. That's what's so interesting. It has to be, the plot of the game in Tearaway revolves around your face and the front-facing camera. So, already it can't even be following the same basic trajectory.
Right, you're a sun god or something.
You're in the sun and you're trying to get to yourself, basically.
So they did say the game is going to adapt whether you have an eye or whether you don't, the PlayStation Eye. So you see here it's doing a lot of cool things with the controller. I mean, this game was incredible. I hope that when it comes to PS4, a lot more people get to play it. You see here you can shine a light inside the world. Sort of, you can gather objects inside of your controller and feel them. Media Molecules, one of the most creative, big developers around, and so I'm all aboard this game.
Think of a release window on that?
Next year.
I mean, I think it's interesting to me that, we also saw Unfinished Swan and Journey announced for, kind of being up-res to PS4, but this game in particular, is so pretty on the Vita, and I feel like on PS4 especially, if you see, especially the later parts of that game that are so pretty anyway, in 1080p or whatever, that's so exciting.
You love 1080p's.
If it doesn't have 1080p's, I don't want it.
1079p's, get out of here.
Nope. Marty, Brian, you guys were talking about the vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Yeah.
Coming to PS4.
Yes, PS4. It's console first, PS4. It's coming to PC first.
We actually haven't seen much about this for a very long time.
Yeah, it existed. It's by an indie studio called The Astronauts, but they're made up almost primarily of guys from People Can Fly who worked on Bulletstorm and Gears of War Judgment. It's this gorgeous first-person story-based exploration game. It's think of Gone Home or Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
And then Ethan Carter is this missing child and you're a detective
using
your supernatural powers to find him.
And you play a detective who has these magical powers and you kind of see him in the past. The game was gorgeous, the writing was amazing, and it was just so awesome and the ambiance was amazing and it was mysterious and I just want to play more. And it's coming soon. That's a this year game.
What's the genre on that one?
I would first person, story-based exploration, puzzle solving with gothic spookies.
Really long.
Do we need a category for that for Game of the Year now?
Set in Wisconsin.
That's part of the genre.
That is absolutely a genre.
Set in Wisconsin.
Wait, so no more 2D puzzle platformers with a twist?
It's all about first person. What all those other words I said?
Okay.
Yeah, that guy got stabbed in the chest.
With what?
A bird.
It looks like a bird bullet.
I can totally tell we're in Wisconsin.
That's Wisconsin, right there.
You can kind of open rifts and see parts of the crime scene and try to figure out the chronology of what happened.
Yeah, you see the past. Right? Yeah, really cool, really good writing. I played the first half hour or so. Again, one of those demos where they told me I had to stop and I wanted to punch the guy right in the face and keep playing. I didn't, though, because I need job security.
Oh, wow.
Sony also pointed people to a demo on the PlayStation Store called PT.
Yeah. This is the biggest, this is the thing I will associate with this Gamescom the most, just as far as whatever was talked about afterwards. I mean, even aside from the fact that obviously it ended up being a Silent Hill game secretly, I think it was, you know, with the Phantom Pain, they announced a fake game with a fake studio, and it was like 3.5 months before they finally just came out and said it was Metal Gear. This was a much more immediate thing. Like, people knew within hours of the end of the press conference, and I feel like that's a much more controlled window for something like that, and I think it makes it a little more exciting.
Yeah.
Also, right, so is it really the world's first interactive teaser?
Well, maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, they did a really good job leading up to it with these, like, bloody snowflake trailers.
No, that wasn't that. That was Until Dawn.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Sony had two spooky Easter
Okay,
accounts.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to play this, though, because we've been in Germany. We haven't actually got to play the teasers. So.
Yeah, so you can download. Yeah. That's what PT stands for, playable teaser.
It's playable teaser,
and at the end, we see, like, the Norman Reedus' character turns around, you see Kojima, Del Toro.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really spooky.
People are really excited about that.
Yeah.
We should also probably mention Until Dawn.
Yeah.
Now a PS4 game.
Which I care about now. Like, honestly, when it was a Move game, I don't know. And that was Gamescom, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And it almost went off the grid since then.
Hayden Panettiere is in that game, but then they showed the trailer and didn't even mention it.
Yeah, that was weird.
Her character is not in the playable demo. So I played, like, half an hour of the game. And her character is only there in terms of the two characters you are looking for her.
Yeah.
So the whole thing about this game is that it's eight friends go to a cabin. And over the course of the... I mean, obviously, like all horror movies, bad things happen in the cabin. But... you play as all eight of the characters. It chooses when you play as each one, though. You're not just, like, hop-swapping.
Yeah.
But the tagline is, anybody can live, anybody can die, everybody can live, everybody can die.
It's a long tagline.
I know. So that's probably make it snappier.
And this also had a sort of a tonal switch. It was going to be, like, an 80s teen slasher sort of thing, right? And now it's kind
of... Now it's very serious. Yeah. It feels like... it feels like evil... Not Evil Dead, because Evil Dead is schlocky. But it feels like serious Evil Dead. Which I guess isn't Evil Dead at all. So
Evil Dead serious.
Evil Dead colon serious. Looks really cool. I like the idea that there's no fail states in the game. It really adapts. It's sort of that Heavy Rain thing where whatever you do, that's how your story plays out. So.
Finally, they announced DayZ is coming to PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for this.
It's kind of interesting because it's not even officially launched on PC, right?
No, it's not. And on PC, it's still clunky, and like connecting to servers is a huge pain. Usually that stuff gets streamlined when something comes to a PC and a console, so I'm super excited about that.
I mean, it feels like one of those things like how they announced Minecraft for Vita forever ago, and then it's taken so long to roll out. Like, this feels like we're not going to see this till 2015, I have to imagine. Like, that doesn't... like, because they didn't even mention release timing or anything. I would have to imagine that's going to roll out pretty slow.
Do you think people are going to be confused and call it Days and think that it's a sequel to Haze? No one wanted a sequel to Haze.
You know, because that's so no one remembers that game.
What if they get it confused with H1Z1?
Yeah. But I think it's cool that the developer was saying, like, 3 years ago, this thing didn't exist. And then we made it into a mod, and then it was on PC, and now it can come to PS4. Like, it's really cool how these tiny kernels of ideas can now become games for everyone. I really love that.
What an age to live in.
Oh, what a time. What a time.
That's a recap of Sony's conference here from Gamescom. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Microsoft conference right after these messages. And I also have to say that we are IGN Live from Gamescom, presented by Dead Island 2. We'll be right back. And we're back.
We are.
GameScoop coming to you from Gamescom here in Cologne, Germany. We're wrapping up the show. You might say we're mopping up all the sweaty
all
game
the trash.
Also, Cologne is a misnomer.
No, I was ironically named.
Yeah,
back in the day.
No. Cologne's a gorgeous city, though. I
actually really like Cologne.
Yeah, the city itself.
Stop being so offensive, Marty.
I know the city itself.
Yeah,
you just don't like the convention center. You like the city.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people just they don't really know what Gamescom's all about. Maybe they don't realize how big this show is.
Yeah.
350,000 people come to the show.
We've all covered, obviously, E3s and PAXs and Comic-Cons. And this, like, nothing
I think E3 is like 40. So like this is like significantly bigger.
PAX is like 75,000.
Yeah. Yeah. So you tweeted that picture out.
I tweeted a picture from the stairs looking down into one of the main hallways, and there's just no room. There are people.
There's literally, it's
you have to swim. You have to dead rising.
Yeah, you have to dead rise above it.
So not only the hard part is like it flows like a river, but if you need to split off, so if you're like in the middle of it and you need to get to a hall, it is so hard to just fight to the side of a hallway. It takes like 10 minutes.
So not only is it packed, there's no noise regulations.
No.
Yeah. So every booth is just blasting music. They're yelling at
it's
everyone.
It's like a competition.
They're chanting. Yeah, everyone's
I'm not sure if our healthcare covers like hearing loss.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure.
We'll
I'm
see
sure.
when we get back.
But then Cologne is a really nice city. It's the number one tourist spot in Germany.
Germany is the Dom.
Because we have the Dom Cathedral here, which is this giant gothic.
It is Dark Souls the building.
You get the Oxen House, big old things of meat.
Yeah. And then around the dome, there's just like lots of like casual cafes and good people watching and lots of good beer.
Gelato. And shopping. And gelato every three.
Yeah, gelato,
quarters,
yeah. So I actually really like Cologne. Yep. Anyway, that's just a little...
just a taste of Germany. Welcome to the right travel here. Show at IGN.
GameScoop TripAdvisor edition. Anyway, we wrapped up the Sony conference. Now let's talk about the Microsoft conference. Microsoft arguably had the biggest reveal of the show, the biggest surprise of the show.
It 100% was, yeah.
Sure. The announcement that Rise of the Tomb Raider, the next Tomb Raider, will be an Xbox exclusive.
But it was confusing, yeah. The word is that there's a big,
Holiday
like,
2014
asterisk next to that.
Exclusive.
Yeah, I believe that's the phrasing. Xbox, or Rise of Tomb Raider is coming exclusively to Xbox One fall 2014.
Yeah. So, I want to say there is no universe in which that game stays exclusive forever.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, I think now that's been clarified, right?
What's that?
Like, now, after the fact, they finally said that it's a limited exclusive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to say when. I imagine
2016.
A year later, 2016.
Yeah, when a like Game of the Year edition comes out. Yeah. But I mean, still, regardless, this is huge. Like, this is
a really, that was a really big announcement. Obviously, the last Tomb Raider went to, PlayStation and Xbox and PC.
Yeah.
And now the definitive edition was on both next-gen consoles as well.
I mean, that was a game that, over time it ended up moving, 7 million units, something awesome. Yeah. Everyone loved it. Like, it was one of our one of our Game of the Year nominees. I mean, this is huge. It's another example of the arms race that Sony and Microsoft are having. Not only with this, but with sort of content exclusivity within games and
Destiny is like the platform.
Destiny,
PS4,
Destiny is a PlayStation game. Call of Duty is an Xbox game.
It's just it's interesting though because Rise of Tomb Raider was revealed at the Microsoft conference at
E3. That's right.
But I didn't even you don't think about it in that context. You're just like, oh, that makes sense, and they had to be on one stage there on that one. But now looking back, it's like, oh, so they probably knew as far back as E3 at least.
I think they were still working on the deal.
Right.
Everything wasn't set. But so what I've seen this week is a huge backlash.
Yeah.
Like, people are angry about it. PlayStation 4.
The statement Crystal Dynamics put out after was like, we still love our PC and PS4 fans who could buy Tomb Raider Definitive Edition and the Temple of Osiris later this year, which
I think that game will be super fun.
Of course
totally not the same thing.
It was just a weird, it almost would have been better to not say that and just let people, know it'll come eventually.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, is this deal really a net positive for Microsoft and Square Enix, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. I don't know.
I mean, it absolutely is. It's a year and a half away. I mean, by the time it comes out, you can only buy it on a Microsoft system. People are going to want it for Christmas. It will still pay off for them, I would imagine.
I think the real way for it to pay off is to call it, get rid of the T and the O, and just put the number 2 there. And so it's 2 Raider.
That's the way
to get it to sell. That's why everyone loves Too Fast, Too Furious. Because it has 2-2s.
Rise of the Tomb Raider is an interesting title. Don't games with numbers in the title sell better?
I don't know why.
Isn't that a scientific fact?
I think it was, but we're getting away from that. Like, in this most recent generation, it's like Infamous, Second Son, instead of Infamous 3.
God of War,
Killzone, Shadowfall, Assassin's Creed Unity, exactly. So I think we're getting away from that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a really big deal. Obviously, Microsoft paid Square Enix a lot of money for this, but I hope it pays off for them.
The game will still be great. The game will still be... I'm excited for a sequel to that game because it'll work out the kinks that I think Tomb Raider had. So no matter where I play it, I'm excited to play it.
And the whole thing is a year from now, there's going to be enough rad games on both consoles to where, you're going to want... Obviously, they're a lot of money, but you're going to want to own both of them. So hopefully that happens,
It's just interesting. At Sony's conference, they announced that they've now sold over 10 million PlayStation 4s. The last update from Xbox is that they shipped 5 million in Xbox One, so there are just more gamers on PS4, but they gave the exclusive to the smaller install base.
That's money, right? Microsoft is trying to turn those tides.
I know.
And I would hope, I guess we'll get into in a second, there's a Madden bundle, there's a FIFA bundle, they're kind of pulling out the big guns specifically for Christmas time. I think they're looking for the next two holiday seasons to be a lot of incentive to buy an Xbox for Christmas. I think I would imagine that's their game.
Like I said, I've seen a lot of backlash this week. I got a lot of emails into GameScoop this week. GameScoop@IGN.com if you ever want to reach us. This one comes from Eric Ferreira, Mike Ferreira's brother. He says, I've had the new Tomb Raider pre-order for PS4 since E3. However, as soon as I heard the disappointing news, I immediately canceled my pre-order.
Good idea.
Canceled is pre-order of something that doesn't exist.
Of that vaporware, yeah.
He says, even if this does come out for other platforms, would you still recommend to friends and fans to keep their pre-orders even though they would be having to wait until the following year to play it? Yeah, I don't see what the point
of it. I mean, those pre-orders will probably get automatically canceled anyway, I would imagine.
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think games nowadays aren't in really limited supply, so you don't have to pre-order them out of fear that you won't get it. It's mostly now I pre-order so I can get my whatever tough
you get your t-shirt and your art book and your
soundtrack. Yeah.
I just do it so Amazon gets it to me on release day and I don't have to go to a store.
Sure.
I mean, honestly, that's like the only reason I pre-order.
That being said, pre-order Borderlands.
Yeah, exactly. That said, please pre-order Borderlands and Battleborn.
I forgot to tell you, when we had Borderlands on the live show, the footage of the person that playing Claptrap was Garfep.
It was.
Yeah. You're famous.
I am. I'm super famous.
Yeah.
Eric says, P.S. I am extremely dissatisfied with this decision by both Microsoft and Square Enix. I will most definitely only purchase this game secondhand to ensure that neither company sees any profits from myself. It was bad enough waiting up to 6 months to receive an Assassin's Creed game when I was a PC gamer, but this is ridiculous. I switched to consoles because I thought things like this weren't supposed to happen, and I received a lot of emails this week.
I think it's like because it's been so long. Like, we grew up with this all the time.
Have people just forgotten what it's like?
I think they have. I mean, like, the 360 PS3 era started this way, too, but it's just been a while, I guess. Like, I mean, I think it's been 5 or so years since the last time we really saw big third-party exclusives happening in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of unprecedented, though. I mean, the Mass Effect series started as an Xbox thing and eventually became an Xbox
thing. So did Bioshock. The first Bioshock was only on 360 also.
But I legitimately can't think of another example where it starts broad and then gets narrow. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure there are examples.
Someone in the comment section is accurate.
The always helpful viewers will let us know politely in the comments.
Thanks, viewers. Be polite.
I don't know. It's crazy. I just want to point out one more time, this is the only medium that does this. There isn't, like, one movie that you can only play on one Blu-ray player.
Right. Sony Pictures can only play on Sony
it's
Blu-ray.
It's the AMC exclusive.
It's only in one chain of theaters.
Yeah.
Video games are the only medium that works this crazy way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Speaking of Xbox One exclusives, Microsoft also announced the Evolve Beta will also be an Xbox One exclusive in January.
Yeah, I mean, we were all bummed out when the game got delayed from October to February. I mean, we all wanted to play it. We played it here. The game's still awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. The game's still a lot of fun. We got to play the new level, which is sort of the snow-based place. Still playing against the Kraken. But yeah, I mean, that's cool. I think Evolve is going to be huge. And giving them, I'm glad that 2K gave them, Turtle Rock an extra couple months to make sure it's the game it has the potential to be.
Yeah,
we're seeing it right now. I mean, I definitely want to play the beta too. There is a PC beta coming sooner. I don't know if it's public though. I feel like I'm in the beta. I don't know if I was supposed to say that though.
Scoop!
Scoops! The titular scoop is finally here.
I didn't really see a backlash about that news though.
No. Well, because I think with betas, the Destiny, Alpha started on PS4 only. Yeah. The Battlefield Hardline beta was PS4 only. Like, I think that, for whatever reason, doesn't bother people as much because they know it's just a beta. They'll play the full game. I mean, Evolve is, a month after that anyway? It's out, so.
Look at that Kraken. That Kraken's flying around.
I think that's Tal.
Tal the Kraken.
Yeah, and I want to point out, he makes it to stage 2 and then dies.
Oh. Wait, this might be me right now.
Really?
You might be watching me. See, I'm doing really... No, I'm not doing very good. That's not me.
They announced 2 Xbox One bundles.
They announced the third one, but you said, quote, I don't care about that one.
No, I didn't.
Damn it.
I don't know if that's verbatim what I said. Fine, we'll mention that one too. Then that's a Call of Duty bundle.
1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, I know. The biggest
hard drive in an Xbox One.
That's so exciting.
That's a terabyte.
Marty, you said this console looks ugly. I thought at a glance it reminds me of Zelda.
Now that you say that, I can't.
And then the Triforce.
I can't not see Zelda.
It looks Zelda.
I think the controller is ugly. I think the console is not bad.
The controller is ugly, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care what my console looks like. It's just going to collect dust in my sand corner anyways. That's what my TV is, the sand corner of my house. The haunted corner.
Why don't you move it?
So the console comes with the Day Zero edition of Call of Duty, so you can pick up this console actually on the 3rd, November 3rd, instead of the 4th, and play it for 24 hours and get double XP to get a head start.
Day Zero is a weird, terrifying phrase to me, too.
Why?
I don't know.
It's like Patient Zero.
It's like
when the outbreak starts.
Like,
it sounds ominous, yeah.
Yeah.
I can get on board with that.
There's 2 white bundles, then.
Thanks, Damon. Thank you. Represent.
Are you a big football fan? Like, why?
I'm not, but you're in Germany. The World Cup winners are here.
You're right.
Yeah.
Sunset Overdrive.
Yep.
And FIFA 15. And I think a white one is really sexy, actually.
Yeah,
I know. 100%. I agree with that. Before Gamescom, I think they also announced a Madden bundle, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
I guess that's the U.S. equivalent of the FIFA thing.
So I've been using the work. I bought a PS4. I've been using a work Xbox One. I think I'm going to buy the Sunset Overdrive bundle. So I like the white, and that's not really bad. I'll move on. So I like the white Xbox One, and I'm excited for Sunset Overdrive. So I think that's the bundle I'm going to get.
I mean, Sunset Overdrive is, as of right now, probably the biggest, for either first party, a ball game. I mean, because...
What about Master Chief Collection?
Sony still has Drive Club, but there's
Master Chief Collection.
Oh, yeah, Master Chief Collection, yeah. Because the order is next year, right?
Yeah, the order got moved next year.
I mean, Sunset Overdrive is one of, I'll say, the biggest first party games coming this fall.
Yeah. In terms of exclusives, Microsoft totally has a stronger lineup this fall.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we're going to get a Blinks game, too. I made that up.
Which one?
A Blinks, the Time Cat. Remember that vacuum cat?
We should
get a new one.
There was a sequel to that.
Yeah, I want that game. So I've been pushing Microsoft to make a sequel to that, so maybe we'll get it. I don't know if that's how games work.
I don't know about that.
Then it's a Halo channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is, it's kind of interesting. It's like a hub for all of this Halo multimedia that is coming out around Halo 5 and Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
How is it different from Halo Waypoint?
I actually asked about that. Waypoint is like your achievements and kind of like progress in your games. And this is a separate sort of, there's like an encyclopedia in there. You can watch the upcoming Halo Nightfall series. You can watch Forward Unto Dawn in there. And they're not combining them or integrating them in any way. Yeah. They're staying separate.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, they're turning Halo into, you know, its own platform. Which, honestly, there's a handful of games that deserve to be, and Halo's one of them. And so people are stoked about Master Chief Collection. You can be able to watch, you know, the best teams play. People are excited for the beta coming right after Christmas.
Yep.
People are excited. Nightfall looks rad. Like, I saw a little bit of it at Comic-Con, and the production values are crazy. It's going to tie directly into Halo 5 because Locke is the second playable character in Halo 5. I think this is really smart.
The other thing I'm really excited about is when they showed off Halo, they showed it in sort of like an esports scenario. It was like small, arena-based, fast, and there were like shoutcasters.
Yeah.
A big part of Halo channel is you can just pop up like Twitch and just watch competitive Halo games whenever you want.
Yeah.
We should have whisper casters.
Yeah.
After being in a land of shouting for a week, I want whisper casters.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Finally, they announced, they showed off a bunch of ID and Xbox games.
Yeah.
And they revealed that Blow, Smite, and Superhot will all be making their console debuts on Xbox One. Console debuts is another like trend we were
it's
hearing
a new
a lot
thing.
Of.
Yeah.
This year.
I mean,
first
not,
on Xbox
like,
One.
Not exclusives.
Because it comes to PC also, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But console debuts.
I mean, on top of that, like those and Ori and a bunch of other like really cool games coming to Xbox, like, everyone talks about Sony as having all these incredible indies, but I feel like Xbox has some cool stuff.
Superhot was a game I wasn't familiar with it until the show, but you guys all knew about it.
Yeah, so it's a game you can play. There's like a demo free thing you can play right now. It's awesome. It's a game. It's a first-person shooter, but time only moves when you move, and so it's like it feels like you're in the Matrix. It's really cool. It's crazy in Polish, and the trailer is awesome. The game was kickstarted, and the upper tier was to be able to make your own level, and Cliffy B was the upper tier. So in theory, the next Cliffy B thing we're going to get is a level in Superhot.
Get out of here, Blue Streak.
Get out of here, Blue Streak. We got that Superhot. And Blow, obviously, one of the games we're super excited about. The demo from the live show was awesome.
And then as MOBA guy, I have to speak up. There aren't a lot of MOBAs on consoles.
But Smite?
Smite, like the over-the-shoulder third-person MOBA.
Yeah.
I hope it works on consoles well. It'd be cool to see that type of game.
Yeah, we're looking for that white whale of a mobile MOBA. A MOBA that actually can hit on consoles and get people excited. Yep. Maybe it's that.
All right, that's the Microsoft conference. I think both conferences were pretty strong.
Yeah, a lot of games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Stay tuned. We're not quite done yet. We've still got more to talk about from Gamescom coming to you live from Cologne, Germany, presented by Dead Island 2 right after these messages. Welcome back to GameScoop, coming to you from Gamescom in Germany.
Whoa.
Now we're going to talk about some of the biggest games of the show, some of our favorite games of the show.
Yeah.
One of the big reveals was BioWare's new game, Shadow Realms, which they've been teasing for a while.
Yeah.
You've been chosen? Was there, like, campaign?
That's their tagline,
They were really creepy, like, horror game-style teasers, but ended up, it's what, like a...
It's not very scary.
And I'm not super... It's like a 4v1.
Yeah, so it's a 4v1... the one player is like a dungeon master, sort of like a D&D campaign kind of thing.
Okay.
He's the Shadow Lord.
Shadow Lord, yes. And you choose which beasts spawn in this dungeon. And then you're invisible floating around, and you can inhabit any of the beasts and then attack the four other players with that character.
It's an interesting game. It seems like it's very different for BioWare.
From literally anything else.
When I got the demo, he kept saying it. Everything you would expect from a BioWare game is in here.
Right, so when I went to the demo, they said... this is first and foremost a BioWare RPG, and apparently there's like a single player area of the game that's sort of like a hub world between these different dungeons. I don't know. I didn't see what that's about, but it just seems a little strange right now.
Yeah, I mean,
what
I played was super fun. Looks like a hack and slash right now.
I mean, this is my first time seeing footage. It looks like Hogwarts. It looks awesome. It looks like Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's weird. So the she's wearing a hoodie though, right?
Like
it's
a weird mesh. The other guy's wearing a shirt and tie. It takes place in modern day, but the modern day characters get pulled into the Shadow Realm.
Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah. But yeah, it's really fun. As the Shadow Lord, you can say, okay, it looks like in this dungeon, this is a choke point, so I'll set up a spike trap here.
So it reminds me of like Orcs Must Die.
A little bit, yeah. Or sort of a little bit like Fable Legends too.
I mean, it's one of those. There are like specific phrases that I will just trust will be a good game. It's like the pedigree of like BioWare RPG is one of those where like, yep, I will at least play this and try it. And it's like, I even like that Sonic game on DS. Like, I feel like
I completely forgot they did that.
Brotherhood, whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy that they made that game actually. You point out that 4v1 seems to be an emerging trend. We got Evolve.
Absolutely. So Evolve, sort of, not the first 4v1 game, but sort of credited with like that recent.
It's got its hashtag.
Yeah, that's its hashtag 4v1. Then there's the Shadow Realms from BioWare. Yeah. And then I saw Dying Light. And the demo was just normal, zombie, parkour, whatever.
Yeah.
And as we got to our extraction point, another player invaded us.
Yeah.
And it becomes a 4v1 against a super powerful zombie that is way faster than you are.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that people have latched onto, sort of with like MOBAs. That's a lot of games are picking up MOBA elements, and now it seems to be... Yeah, here we go.
Dying Light here.
Yeah, the zombie can destroy you one-on-one, but you weaken its stamina with like flashlights, and you have to you can kill it once it's a little weak and buy some time before it responds.
Yeah,
it's just sort of a neat thing. Like I didn't expect Evolve is cool, but I didn't expect it to come out of nowhere and like here, so all these things that do that.
We're living in the age of 4v1, boys.
What an age to live in.
Future flying cars and 4v1.
Marty, what games stood out to you at the show?
So many games. Okay, the games I knew I was going to dig coming into it. Ori and the Blind Forest.
Revealed at E3.
Revealed at E3. It's that gorgeous 2D Metroidvania coming to Xbox.
That sounds like a Marty game.
It's absolutely a Marty game. So we knew at E3 that it was gorgeous and that it was going to be emotional. The trailer was all like amazing music, and it's like, oh, something sad is going to happen and a little animal's going to die at some point. You were choking back. But the thing that really stood out to me here is that the gameplay itself is awesome and tough and deep. And so what they showed here was sort of a new platform mechanic where it's called the bash system. And there's like nodes in the environment that you, when you jump towards, you can sort of start gravitating around them for a second. And then while you're doing that, you pick which direction you want to launch off of. And so there's just like, the entire ground is filled with spikes and you're kind of ricocheting back and forth between all these different nodes. But then it gets more complicated because enemy projectiles can also be gravitated around, and you can shoot them back at enemies while also propelling yourself up to the next area. I don't even know how to describe it.
That sounds so complicated.
Yeah, I get an aneurysm. Like, Ori, what are you doing?
Let's go back to just beautiful 2D emotional game.
Exactly.
No, it plays really well. It's really intuitive. It sounds really dumb when I describe it because I'm tired and exhausted and want to drink. But the game is incredible. I'm really excited for more of it. Yeah. Bloodborne. Finally got to play that.
So, okay. Yes. Yeah. Give us the download on that.
So that's Miyazaki's game, the guy who did Dark Souls 1. It's pretty much, it's not a Souls game, but it's a Souls game. The big thing here is, so Colin at E3 said it's a little bit faster than Dark Souls, and that's why I like it. I called him an idiot, and then I played it. Colin was right.
You're an idiot.
I'm the idiot. We're all the idiots.
The one thing they revealed here at Gamescom is there's a new system where if you take damage, you can immediately damage who attacked you and get some of that health back. That's huge for a Souls game.
So,
and that's also a thing that'll increase the speed. Because sometimes when you're hit, you're like, oh, I'm going to back off, take it easy.
Now you want to get more.
And now you want to go back in
and
fight.
Miyazaki in this game described health as your will to live. And so as you get hit, your will to live goes down. But if you take a chance and become aggressive, you regain that will to live. Well, still health, but
that's really
interesting. I like the poetic way of describing it.
Sure. I think the seeing more gameplay now, so before the E3 reveal, there was like leaked gameplay. And that leaked gameplay was really interesting and different, and I thought it was a little more than even what they showed in E3. I think now what they showed here seems to be closer to that. I think it's like a little more of that like crazy, fast-paced like Souls, but with like a little more energy to it, or maybe energy is the wrong word, but like the pace is very different.
Yeah, it's more of an aggressive game than a contemplative game.
Also, I'm just a big fan of shotguns, like blunderbuss weapons.
Yeah, you got that thing.
Yeah. That thing is... That is spooky, dog. That is the opposite of Air Bud.
So like...
And you also saw Geometry Wars 3.
Yes.
So which we don't is have so exciting.
It is so exciting. We can't show you B-roll right now because it literally doesn't
Take
exist.
Take our word for it.
Geometry Wars 3 is by a new studio called Lucid, but it's all the guys from Bizarre Creations.
Yeah.
These are the guys who made
that.
Geometry Wars 1 and 2. It's coming to everything now. It's not an Xbox game. It's Xbox, it's PlayStation, it's PC, it's cross-gen.
Is it Wii U? Because Geometry Wars did come to Wii.
Oh, it did.
And DS.
Yes, it did. I forgot about that. Yep. There was like
Geometry
Wars Touch.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that, evidently. And so the thing is, it plays like Geometry Wars, but the levels are 3D shapes. So it's almost like Super Stardust, where the first level was a cylinder. And so what you fire upwards will curve all the way around the cylinder and come back, almost
sphere.
Like Mario Galaxy. A sphere, yeah.
Cylinder is also gun.
It was a cylinder.
Okay.
It was a cylinder.
Geometry.
And the second level was a
peanut.
Nailed
it, buddy.
A peanut shape.
Is this a peanut shape?
Okay.
I don't know what a peanut is shaped like. And then the third level is an awesome boss level on a cube. But the whole thing is there's 50
boss
different levels, 50 shapes. I know it sounds weird, but there's co-op, there's competitive.
50 shapes.
50 shapes of Geo.
Are they bringing the... Because, like, so Geometry Wars 2...
Yeah.
Geometry Wars 1 was obviously, like, you know, the two main modes, like the retro and evolved, and then... In Geometry Wars 2, we got like Pacifist and King and all that. Are they bringing some of that
back?
I
specifically asked about Pacifist because that's my favorite mode in Geometry Wars 2. They said there's going to be 5 returning modes. It sounded like Pacifist is one of them. And 5 new modes.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's spread across those 50 levels. Each of the 50 levels has its own leaderboard where, like, when you hop in, if one of your friends beat the score, that level is like a glowing node on a board.
It just taunts you,
yeah. It's coming next year. The game already looked gorgeous, sounded gorgeous. I'm trying to wrangle some sort of exclusive footage stuff, so hopefully we can get that soon.
Cool. Brian, what did you like at the show?
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm a big Call of Duty fan. I play everyone that comes out for a little bit. But the mobility, the exosuit, you have the, you know, jump boost powers and dashes, and it actually makes the multiplayer feel much more different than it has since, I don't know, maybe Modern Warfare 2 for me.
Yeah. Honestly, it the just sensation of playing it and controlling that character is really cool. And a lot of people are saying, oh, it's Titanfall. It's less Titanfall to me, and more of it feels like a mix between Tribes and Unreal Tournament, which is a really cool mix. The game is a little bit faster. You're much more mobile. There's a lot more options at your disposal. But honestly, and to me, one of the biggest things was they showed off 4 levels, and 3 of them were cool, just kind of standard levels. But one of them was paired with this mode. It was set in San Francisco under the Golden Gate Bridge,
Marty.
And
which,
like,
why can we stop destroying the Golden Gate Bridge?
I feel like the Bay Bridge is like just so sad in the corner. Like, pay attention to me, guys.
Anyone
want to
destroy me?
Yeah,
I'm perfectly destroyable.
But halfway through the level, like, you hear these air sirens and a giant tsunami hits, and so half the level becomes underwater. but it was this mode that was, I think we described it as Quidditch with murder.
Yes,
so murder
exactly.
Quidditch. Where there's like a single ball in the level and 2 goals. Each team has its goal. And you have to run and get the ball and then get it back to your goal. And you get 1 point if you throw it through the goal and 2 points if you actually physically pull it into the goal. But the whole thing is, so you can't fire when you have the ball. But if someone is running towards you, you just throw the ball at them.
And they have to catch it.
And then they have to catch it.
And then you kill them.
And then they don't have a gun and then you just shoot them. So it's really interesting. I don't know. I liked it a lot.
The game's having a lot of fun with itself with that mode.
Yeah.
And then there's another one where they described it that sounded like a MOBA. They were like, it's multiple lanes, it's good for objectives, and you can activate turrets along the lane. That's MOBA terminology.
Everything's
stuff.
A MOBA. Yeah. You guys should make a game that's like a MOBA.
Whoa. Only one mode is like a MOBA. Relax.
Andrew, you guys did show off Claptrap gameplay.
That's true. Yeah.
Which seems awesome.
I played that.
Yeah? How was
it's really fun. So his action skill is called Vault Hunter.exe.
Yep.
And it's it kind of analyzes the situation you're in and gives you like an action skill based on what it thinks.
Well, it tries to.
It
like,
tries to.
The problem is like so Handsome Jack put it in Claptrap, but it's like malware, like it's like shitty. And so like because he's Claptrap, like if it works right, he'll use the action skill of an existing Vault Hunter, like some from Borderlands 2, some from this, some from whatever. But alternately, it'll do something like a... He'll wear a rubber ducky costume and the whole team bounces up and down uncontrollably. Or
like
he'll turn to a pirate ship and shoots to the 1812 Overture. And like, there's a bunch of weird stuff. We're really weird.
There,
there were two like badass units up on high ground, and I was like, okay, I need some power, and I just turned into a duck and started bouncing around and died. I was like, okay, it's really silly. There's a checkpoint, and you come back and it's fine. But
I like the attention to detail. So Claptrap is shorter than humans, so they lowered the camera to the ground, and so if you walk up to a human, you're like up to their waist.
It's great. He also has a skill where he asks for a high five.
And if people give it to you, you get one your team, and if buffs. People don't,
yeah, then only he gets the buffs.
Yes.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. Andrew, did you get to play any other games? Check anything else out that you liked?
So I didn't get to play anything, but I watched a lot of the live shows and stuff. I saw like the Quantum Break demo, which I'm really happy about. Like I've wanted to see more of that game since that reveal.
This was the first gameplay, a year and a half ago,
I guess. This is the first time we finally saw it. And I'm really impressed. I think, like, honestly, like, I really liked Alan Wake. I trust Remedy. I liked Max Payne back in the day. But, like, this is something very new and refreshing, I think. It just seems really cool, and I think it lives up to that promise. We were talking earlier about, like, that they didn't really, and maybe I missed it, but they didn't really get into how the live-action TV stuff is going to work too much.
That was such a big aspect of the initial reveal, was that it's this, like, you know, simultaneously it's a video game but also a TV show, and what you do in one will affect the other.
Yeah, that's kind of all we've heard about really up until now. And then here there was none of that.
And now it was just like a game, it was gameplay, which was awesome, but it looked like Max Payne.
No, I'm saying, do you guys know that the live action show ships on disc with the game?
I think, yeah. It does.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, you know.
So, and then the recommended playing and viewing is you play an act of the game, then watch an act of the show, and you make choices in the game. And that determines what you see next on the show. They filmed multiple versions of scenes.
Oh,
wow.
Man, you know a lot more about this than we do. Oh, you had Sam Lake on the show.
We had him on the show,
Yeah, Marty and I didn't know how it worked. Like, I mean, you assume that, like, to make a live-action TV show, they would want it distributed somewhere and, you know, to recoup some of that investment. But if it's actually part of the game, that's really interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So what we're actually seeing here is, they described it as a third-person action game. And now we see third-person shooter with cover. There's also, like, these time bubble mechanics. Yeah. You can freeze an enemy, shoot a bunch of bullets, and then when that time bubble collapses, it's really cool.
The game looks gorgeous, obviously. Yep. Yeah, Remedy, like Andrew said, like, man, Remedy has a rad pedigree. I trust the guys.
Yeah, for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about it for us here from Gamescom. I think we've arrived at the end of our long journey.
Whoa.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us this week, tuning into all of our coverage. If you missed anything, you can find everything at ign.com/Gamescom. Also, I want to thank Gamescom for having us here. We had a great time. Hope to be back next year. If you're watching live, stay tuned for our WWE 2K15 roster reveal going live at 10 a.m. Pacific. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brian.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Andrew. My name is Damon. This has been IGN Live from Gamescom, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.